the morning going on my wonderful trip with my son to Austria, and it got canceled. Because of the volcano. So I'm here, which is really good. I've got a new baby and two children moving, and they need babysitters. And I'm their best babysitter. So let's open with a word of prayer.
Father, thank you for the privilege of just getting up this morning and having the health and the freedom to just choose to come and study your beautiful word. And so, Father, take this time and use it in our lives. Speak to our hearts. Speak comfort and speak joy and speak an expectant hope of what lies before us in our destiny as your children. And I pray that you would take this scripture and cause it to come alive. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I know some of you, Joy and Karen, went yesterday to hear Beth Moore in her simulcast. And I had Debbie Smith call me after it was over. And she said, "Oh, I can't believe you missed it. It was so good.
I kept looking for you."
She was so full. She just kept spilling over of everything that she had learned. And have you got your little thing?
Oh, a little pamphlet.
It was right here. It was on So Long Insecurity. And Beth Moore has just come out with a new book. What's the name of that book?
So Long Insecurity.
And one of my friends has just gotten through reading that book, and she said that has been one of the most wonderful books she personally has ever read. And that it did so much for her personally. She said, "I just can't tell you what it did for me." And so I want to suggest that you might want to read that book. But one thing Debbie said, there were over 300,000 women across our country and the world listening yesterday to Beth.
There were 2,000 at Pine Lake.
2,000 just alone at Pine Lake. That's wonderful. Isn't that awesome? There are a lot of godly people left in our world. So let's look now in Revelation chapter 21. Now, in John 14, Jesus made a wonderful promise, and this is what he said. He said, "In my Father's house are many mansions, or many dwelling places." And actually, what the Greek means there are many rooms. That's the best translation of the word. And then he said, "If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Now, Jesus is speaking in that portion of Scripture in John 14 of a Father's house, a place, an actual place that He is. And it's a place where God is going to live with us as His children forever. Now, we've already looked in chapter 21 at verses 1 through 8. Look back at verse 2 there, and let me remind you, because in that verse we saw this holy city, and it was called the New Jerusalem, and it was descending from God out of heaven, coming down into the newly created, the new heaven and the new earth. And then verse 3 we saw, it is the city where God lives. So this is where you and I are going to spend eternity. Hey, Pam, let's see, there's a chair right here by Tish. So this is a wonderful problem. We've got a great crowd this morning. Now, we looked generally last week and the week before at the new heaven and the new earth. And today we're going to start our description. And we're going to get some details about this place, this city, this Father's house, where Jesus said He's preparing dwelling places for us. We're going to get a real glimpse and some very wonderful details. And they're mind-boggling. And they're overwhelming. And they're awesome. And I can't wait to teach it to you. But first, let me do a little bit of some background and put it into context. Now, I did have this up last week and they erased it. But just listen as we go through. By the time you get to chapter 21 of Revelation, the rapture of the church has occurred, where all of the church will be taken out All those who are in Christ will be taken out. The dead in Christ and those who are living at that time, they'll be raptured up with Christ. Then following that event comes a 7-year period of time called the tribulation on the earth. And there's going to be judgment on the earth. There will be a lot of death, a lot of destruction. And when that has passed, that 7-year period of time called the tribulation, then we will enter into what is known as the 1,000 millennial year reign of Christ, where Christ will return with us, we'll be with him, we'll be in our glorified bodies, and he is going to rule and reign upon the earth literally for a period of 1,000 years. Now, you say, where is that in the Bible? It's in Revelation chapter 20. Christ will be ruling on the throne of David. Satan will be bound during that time for a period of 1,000 years. The curse will be removed off the earth. There will be people living on the earth at when Jesus comes back. The believers are called the sheep. The unbelievers are called the goats. God is going to send his angels and reap the earth. He'll take all of the goats. They will be cast into punishment. And the sheep will enter into the millennial, 1,000-year kingdom in their earthly bodies. Now, you and I will be there in our glorified bodies. They will live on earth. They will marry. They will have children. The population is going to mushroom upon the earth. At the end of that time, Satan will be released for a short time. He will deceive many people on the earth. He will gather together a rebellion. They will come against Jesus, who is in Jerusalem. And at that point, Jesus will, with fire, destroy all of the ungodly. Immediately following that event is called the Battle of Gog and Magog. Immediately following that event, the heaven and the earth, as we know it, pass away. They become uncreated. And then comes what's known as the Great White Throne Judgment. That is a judgment for all the ungodly of all the ages. And they will come and stand before the Great White Throne of God, and books will be opened, and they will be judged according to their works, and then they will be cast into what is called the Lake of Fire, which was never prepared for people. It was always prepared only for the devil and his angels. But all the ungodly of all the ages will be cast into the lake of fire. And that is called the second death. The second death. Then after that time, and that's where we are in chapter 21, God creates a new heaven and a new earth. And in the middle of this new heaven and new earth that is just newly created, descends out of heaven from God this jewel city. It is called the New Jerusalem. And this is the eternal state. Time will be no more. Now, I can't fathom that. I can't understand no time. We will be entering into eternity. And we studied all of that now in verses 1 through 8. And we saw also in verse 2, look at it again, that this city is coming out of heaven from God, made ready, and the picture is, the analogy is, as a bride adorned for her husband. So we're looking here at the capital city of heaven, of the new earth and the new universe. It's the crown jewel. It is paradise. It is the golden, glittering city of God. And it's the place where you and I will live forever. Now, does it exist right now? Yes, it does. It's existed ever since eternity. The new heaven and the new earth do not exist right now. God is going to create them. But this city creates, right, is created right now. Now let's start with verse 9. I want to read all the way through verse 21. And we're going to talk today about the general appearance of the city. And next week we're going to go inside the city. Look at verse 9. And one of the seven angels, who had the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues, came and spoke with me, saying, "Come here, I shall show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. Her brilliance was like a very costly stone, as a stone of crystal clear jasper. It had a great and high wall with 12 gates, and at the 12 gates, 12 angels, and names were written on them, which are those of the 12 tribes of the sons of Israel. There were 3 gates on the east, 3 gates on the north, 3 gates on the south, and 3 gates on the west. And the wall of the city had 12 foundation stones, and on them were the 12 tribe names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And the one who spoke with me had a gold measuring rod to measure the city and its gates and its wall. And the city is laid out as a square, and its length is as great as its width, and he measured the city with the rod 1,500 miles. Its length and width and height are equal. And he measured its wall 72 yards, according to human measurements, which, by the way, are also angelic measurements. And the material of the wall was jasper, and the city was pure gold like clear glass. And the foundation stones of the city were adorned with every kind of precious stone. The first foundation stone was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, the fourth emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardius, the seventh crystallite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth chrysoprase, the 11th jacinth, and the 12th amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Each one of the gates was a single pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold like transparent glass. Now let's just stop and go back and get all of this in our mind about the general appearance. Now, angels are very significant in the book of Revelation. When you study that book, you see angels all over that book doing God's bidding. And here we meet one of them in verse 9. This angel is one John already knows. He's seen this angel because this is one of the judgment angels that poured out one of the 7 bowls of wrath. Now, this is what happens in Revelation. 7 seals are broken. When you get to the 7th seal, out of the 7th seal come 7 trumpets that are blown. And when you get to the 7th trumpet, out of the 7th trumpet, when it's blown, come 7 bowls. And these angels pour out these bowls of wrath. Every seal, every trumpet, and every bowl is a judgment that happens on earth during the time of the tribulation. And when you get to the 7 bowls, they're rapid fire. They're the very end, and they are the most intense. And so here is one of the angels that poured out one of those bowls. And John says, hey, I know you. You're one of those angels that poured out the 7 bowls. And he's coming now. Come in. Have we taken our robe here? No. But she'll bring it.
I have to get it in.
You do? You have to get it in? He has to get it in. We'll get it. So, this is one of those 7 angels. And he's coming now. And John, I think that's kind of cool. You know, all these angels are fulfilling all kinds of different roles in this period of time. And this angel says, now come here, and I'll show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb. And here he's describing the city as a bride. That's very interesting, the wife of the Lamb. Now, that's a strange way to describe a city, is it not? But if you go back to verse 2, you see that there she was described. When she came down, she looked like a bride adorned for her husband. Now, why is it called a city that is a bride? And that is because it draws its character from its occupants. And its occupants are the redeemed of all the ages. The bride is inside of that city. It is a bridal city for the bride of Christ. And now it's descending into its proper place. Now here's the most distinguishing characteristic of the city. It has the glory of God in it. It has the glory of God in it. Now, in heaven, what we're going to find there, we're going to experience the full expression of the glory of God. And the glory of God is flashing from that city throughout all eternity. And this city, from the very center of this city, radiating out of this city, is the blazing glory of God. Now jump to verse 23 and let me show you something there. We're going to jump ahead. And the city has no need of the sun or of the moon to shine upon it, for the glory of God has illumined it, and its lamp is the Lamb. You see, both the God the Father and the Lamb are the light of the city. And it's blazing light. It's blazing light. So the angel says to John, come. I'm going to give you a personal tour of the capital city of eternity. And then verse 10 says, and he carried me away in the spirit. I like that. What a rich thought. It means he went on a spiritual journey. He was transported spiritually by means of a vision to see things that are not dreams. He's seeing realities. And we're going to be transported with him to see it. And so he's taken to a very high mountain. And again, he sees Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God. Now let me remind you, this is not the time when the city is created. This is just the city's descent, coming down into the new heaven and the new earth. And it's coming down from God. So here's another point about it. It has divine origin. It has a divine origin. It is built by God. It has existed forever as God's home, and as God's temple, and as God's throne. So the first thing that John sees about the city is that it has the glory of God coming and radiating out of this city. Now look at verse 11. Her brilliance, it says there, is like a very costly stone, crystal clear jasper. Now, the word in the Greek there for brilliance is an interesting word. It means something in which light is concentrated and from which light radiates, like a light bulb. So that, get that in your mind. It's like this city is just radiating like a light bulb. And the city itself appears like a very costly stone. The best understanding of the word jasper there is for the word diamond. So what we're seeing here is this city is like one massive, perfect diamond gem that's flashing the reflection of God's glory in infinite light. Have you ever seen the light show at Disney World? This is the ultimate light show right here. All of eternity is just going to be bathed in the radiating splendor of the glory of God. It's remarkable in its appearance. It appears as crystal clear gem. Now, I don't know much about diamonds, but I know when you find one that has clarity, with no blemish and no spot, and it's perfectly clear, and it's considered flawless, and you have a perfect gem, you find out that it's perfectly, ridiculously expensive. Amen? And this city is seen as one huge, flawless diamond. And I want you to understand the light is not shining on it, but the light is shining from it. The light is coming. And you know when you have a diamond and the sun hits your diamond and it just makes beautiful prisms everywhere. Imagine the glory of God radiating through this perfectly flawless diamond. And it's coming from the inside. And it's just refracting rainbow colors all over the new heaven and the new earth. And that's its general appearance. Like a clear, yes. Let me look. Did I miss it? Yeah. It's not shining from it, but the light's coming. I mean, not shining on it, but the light's coming from it. Second question. Yeah, it contains the redeemed of all the ages. Sorry. Now, I love to think about our God. He is so amazing. He is the author of so much beauty, is he not? I mean, our present world is filled with so much complexity and so much amazing beauty. But when you get to this city, to this new universe and this new earth, the curse is totally removed. And I mean, beauty is just going to be absolutely astounding. Blazing, unbelievable, incomparable beauty awaits us. And so that is the general appearance, but the angel doesn't stop there. He's going to give John a closer look, and so let's look at the exterior design, and this is going to astound us. So here are some thoughts we see out of verse 12. Number one, it has a high wall, a high wall. Number two, it has 12 gates, and at the gates are 12 angels. And then on each gate, you have names that are named after the 12 tribes of Israel. And everything has perfect symmetry. Perfect symmetry, or perfect balance, or perfect order, if you can't spell symmetry. And the mind of God, when you think about this, it's incredibly balanced and it's incredibly ordered. I don't know about you, but I like things symmetry. You know, like on the mantle, you got to have one thing here and one thing there. You know, I'm kind of like that. But that's very different from the chaotic kind of art and music that characterizes our culture. Did y'all watch American Idol last week? Did you? It was Idol Gets Back last week. And they had all these different stars and stuff performing, and they had the Black Eyed Peas. Have y'all ever seen the Black Eyed Peas perform? They're very unusual. I've never seen them before, and Herbie is kind of one of their lead singers. And so their costumes are outrageous. So there's Fergie, and then there's two other guys, and they're rapping. And then they have all these dancers, and they're doing all this robotic, they're dressed like robots. And then you've got all this flashing laser light and all of this, and I mean, it's just going on, and it's absolutely chaotic. And you don't know what anybody's saying. And I mean, they're all coming up screaming, and then they step back, and then Fergie comes up, and she's like, what is that outfit she's got on? I never saw anything like it. That's not God's kind of order. God is perfectly ordered. He's not chaotic in any sense. Now let's go back to Revelation. The scene is overwhelmingly an impressive scene. It's got this great high wall. This is not some nebulous place floating out there. It has a wall. It has dimensions. It has gates. You know what that says to me? You're going to go in and you're going to come out of those gates. Now then verse 17 tells us about the wall. The angel measures the wall. What does it say? 72 yards. That would be 144 cubits. Now a cubit is 18 inches. Or we could say it's 216 feet. And then, of course, that's according to human measurements, which just happens to be the same as angelic measurements. I like that. And then it has 12 gates, and there's an angel at every gate. Good morning. How are you, Teresa? Have a nice day as you go out into the new universe and explore. And then when I come in the afternoon, what, did you have a nice day, Teresa? Come right back in. I hope you did. Find yourself comfortable here. And they're going to be greeting us as we come and go in this city. And did you know that's what Hebrews 1:14 says about angels? That they are ministering spirits sent to minister to those who are to inherit salvation. That's their role. And then verse 12, we see the gates are named. They're named after the 12 tribes of the sons of Israel. Three gates on each side. Perfect symmetry. And then the wall had 12 foundation stones, and on them are the names of the 12 apostles. So we see in this city, we're celebrating two covenants. The old covenant with the sons of Israel, and the new covenant with the 12 disciples. And we see God's favor on both. Now something else about it. It's a square. It's a square. And then a curious thing happens in verse 15. This angel is going to measure with the gold measuring rod. Now, why would an angel do such a thing? Well, jot down Ezekiel 40. If you go there, you will see what is known as the millennial temple. Because when Christ rules and reigns on the earth for 1,000 years, there will be a glorious millennial temple built. And in Ezekiel 40, an angel measures that temple and gives us the dimensions of it. And then if you go to Revelation 11, another interesting time, the angel measures the temple that is called the Tribulation Temple.
There's going to be a temple built during the tribulation as well. And here, the angel takes this gold measuring rod, and he's going to measure this city. Now, let's see what he finds out. He finds out it is a square. All sides and angles are equal. Its length is as great as its width, and it's 1,500 miles in every direction. It is a perfect cube. Now, it's interesting, the way the temple, the tabernacle, was built, there was one way in, and then there was an altar, and then there was a place called the Holy Place. It was divided by a very thick curtain. Only the priest could minister in the Holy Place, and then this side was called the Holy of Holies. And that's where the Ark of the Covenant was. And only the high priest could enter the Holy of Holies one day a year on the Day of Atonement to put blood on the altar of the Holy of the Ark of the Covenant and to atone for the sin of the nation of Israel for a year. But they would make sacrifices all through the year and go into the Holy Place and minister. But I want you to notice the Holy Place was a perfect cube. It was a perfect square. And when you get to heaven, this city is a perfect square. Now, will there be room for everybody? Well, let me read you something very interesting. There's a wonderful man named Henry Morris, and he's a wonderful theologian, and he's written a lot about it. So let me read to you what he said. He says, it's only 1,500 miles cubed. Is that enough to get all of us in? This kind of geometry makes it easier to understand how all the redeemed of all the ages could be living in a single city. Although there's no way to know precisely how many people will be there, one can make at least somewhat accurate guess. It can be calculated, he says, of the total number of people who have lived between Adam's time and our time to be about 40 billion people. Then assuming that a similar number will be born during the millennial time, because of the conditions, and allowing for that time another 20 billion people to be born. It is reasonable that about 100 billion men, women, and children could have been members of the human race, past, present, future. Assume for the sake of argument that 20% of these people will be saved, including all of those who die in infancy. It's obviously only a guess, but the Lord Jesus did make it plain that the large majority will never be saved, right? If this figure is used, then the New Jerusalem would have to accommodate 20 billion residents. Also assume that 25% of the city is used for the dwelling places of the inhabitants, with the rest allocated to streets, parks, public buildings, etc. Isn't that interesting? Then he figures out in some exotic calculation, and he's a scientist, that the average space assigned to each person would be over 30 cubic miles. This would correspond to a cubicle block with about 75 acres on each face of the block. Obviously, there's adequate room in the holy city for all who will be there. Now, will that be enough room for you, 75 acres on a cubic block? I think that'll be enough room. I think it's going to be big enough. How big is 1,500 miles? Well, if you go to the tip of Florida and go all the way up the East Coast to Maine, that's 1,500 miles, and that gives you an idea. Then in verse 17, look at it, he measures the walls. Now, 72 yards. Now, that's not very high. It doesn't say that that's their height. It just says he measured them. And I think it's better to see that as their thickness, 72 yards. That would be 216 feet. So 216 feet thick, 1,500 miles high, and the gates are single pearls. And I think the gates are going to run from the bottom to the top. Excuse me. I've had this tickle. A 1,500 mile high pearl. Amazing. Now, what is the wall made of? It's made of jasper. We've already seen, what is jasper? It's a diamond. The walls are diamonds. Excuse me, please.
This city is one massive cubed diamond. Don't you just love diamonds? And the rest of the city is pure gold, like pure glass. Now, I've never seen pure gold look like pure glass because gold is opaque, isn't it? But what is this? What is this translucent gold? It's something that we've never seen before, but we're going to see it when we get to heaven because we're going to live in it. Now, why does it have to be clear? And let me give you a reason why. Because nothing can block the glory of God that is radiating and shining through this city. And then in verse 19, we're introduced to the foundation stones. And it says, every kind of precious stone. And he gives us amazing details. Let me just tell you this. 8 of the 12 stones that he mentioned are found in the Old Testament when the high priest would put on his breastplate. 8 of those stones were on that breastplate. That would be out of Exodus 28 and 29. The first one, jasper. Well, that's a diamond. That's clear, crystal clear. The second one is a sapphire. What color is it? It's blue. We love sapphires. Then this one we're not familiar with called chalcedony. That is a sky blue stone, and it has translucent stripes of color in it. It's a beautiful stone. And then we know about emeralds. What color are they? Green. They're blazing bright and green. Then the sardonyx is a red and a white stone. The sardius is a common red stone. It comes from the quartz family. The chrysolite is a transparent goldish tone stone. The beryl is sea green. You know what topaz is, don't you? Yellow. Then this one called chrysoprase. That's another shade of green. And then one called jacinth. That's brilliant, shining, violet color. And then the amethyst, you know what it is, what?
Purple.
Now the general picture is one of unbelievable, indescribable beauty. Because the glory of God is going to be radiating through all of these gems, refracting light and color all over the created universe and the new earth. And then we come to what John says about the gates, and we're going to close with that today. Let's talk about them just for a minute, because this is just mind-boggling. A single pearl that probably runs the whole height of the city, because you're going to be able to access that city at any level in that city. And that's what verse 21 tells us. Now that is some kind of an oyster. They're nothing like we've ever seen before. I love pearls. I think pearls are kind of my birthstone, but maybe not. But something about June and pearls, they go together. And each gate is a single pearl, but pearls are different than other gemstones because pearls are made by living flesh. They're not made by the earth. They're not a gem and they're not a metal. And the oyster starts to make that little pearl when he receives some kind of an irritation. And he begins to coat that irritation or that wound and build a pearl. And I guess we could say that the pearl is the answer to what has injured the oyster. And heaven is God's answer in Christ for sinners. And you see, we're going to enter in through those pearls. And we see that Jesus was crucified and wounded for us. And that gives us entrance into those pearly gates. That's why they're called pearly gates. And as we come and go through those pearly gates, we are reminded forever that access to God's throne and access to God's heaven is only because that our Savior was wounded on Calvary. It's entered through suffering by a wounded Redeemer. That's our access to glory. Angels will be there greeting us coming up. and greeting us going out. That is our dwelling place. We'll come in and we'll go out. Now, next week, we're going to go into the city. We're going to be introduced to two wonderful things, the tree of life and the river of life. And I don't want you to miss it. It's going to be very exciting. And kind of, we'll talk some more about just what life will be like there. And I tell you, it's going to be worship. It's going to be worship like you've never experienced worship. And it's going to be perfection. And it's going to be indescribable joy. And it's going to be fantastic. So next week, we'll finish up our study on this. And then I want us to start a study on the book of Philippians, which is all about joy. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this glimpse this morning of this bridal city, a city that's been created and made just to hold the redeemed of all the ages. It's so hard for us to imagine being there. It's hard for us to imagine time being no more. And yet, Father, it is a sure place. It is a real place. And Father, we will be transported there upon our death or upon your return. And so, Father, thank you for the creation of such a beautiful place. How we love beauty. And we'll experience it there. And we'll all be together, worshiping, experiencing this wonderful city that speaks of community. It speaks of service. It has purpose. Father, life will be different there. Life will be good there. And Father, help us to get a vision for it so that we don't put so much affection on this earth, because this earth is passing away. May we learn to lay up our treasure there, because that is our destination. And may we be about communicating to others that they can go as well. Help us to be communicators of your gospel. We pray these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. All right, I'll see you next week.